Hello, and welcome to Ghost to Show You, Bonus Ghost. On this episode, me and Lillian talk via Zoom to my old friend Manute about his time living in a haunted Chinatown tenement. Please enjoy. Welcome to Ghost to Show You, Manute. It's so great to have you here.
Lovely to be involved.
Where should we begin, Lillian?
Well, let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. I don't know if you want to sort of introduce yourself and
tell the people who you are, what your deal is.
My nickname is Manute. Because I was tall as a child, like the basketball player. And my name's Chris, and I live in New York, and I was living in Chinatown when this happened.
When the events transpired.
When the events are transpiring.
And how old were you?
It was like 5 years ago. I was probably like 35 or 6, 35. Somewhere in there, mid-30s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And what was your life like at the time? Like, what was...
Yeah, give us a little snapshot into the life of Chris Manute.
Well, interesting you should ask. my life was completely all over the place. Like, I just moved back to New York expecting to, like, walk in... come back to New York and like have it all, like I've been here for so long, like whatever,
because you had previously lived in New York.
I lived in New York for like 8 years and then went to LA for 4 and then had just moved back and sort of just had a friend find me an apartment with him, never looked because I just didn't want to travel back and forth. And then I couldn't get hired. I started getting depressed. My apartment was like small and crazy.
Do you want a little soup?
Sorry.
I can give you a little soup.
What's that?
A little soup. I'm not gonna have it all.
Oh no, thank you.
Okay. You sure you don't want a little soup?
Yeah.
Why don't you have a little soup?
I get one thing at a time. Anyways, yeah, I wasn't working. I was like drinking. I was bored. I was like getting fat. Everything mm-hmm. was sort of getting weirder. And yeah.
And when you were living in LA, had you been? You know, was your life like more together and you were working and things were going well?
It was going well. And then I kind of just got sick of Los Angeles. And then I've had this, like, everything was clouded by like thinking everything sucked and I want to get out of here. Mm-hmm. I like visiting now, but I didn't want to live there. It was like wearing me down.
Yeah, fair.
By the way, when you were living in LA, didn't you also live in a haunted apartment in LA?
Yeah, I forget about that. Well, I lived like below one because above me was my friend and they were just like, it's crazy up here. And I was like directly below them and it's kind of getting foggy. I don't remember myself encountering it, but they were like, oh, this shit is going on up in our place. Mm-hmm. I was right below them. But until it happens to you, you're sort of like, yeah, that's crazy, whatever.
So you had never had any experiences prior to, like, really, besides whatever happened in that LA apartment, you had never really had any experiences.
Once, but I can't tell if I was losing my mind. And I never, and I could never sleep in that room
I still
again.
Can't tell if you are.
Yeah.
Who knows? Jury's out.
It made me question things for, like, a decade. Like, I was like, you're fucking losing your mind.
So what was that experience? How old were you and where and what was it?
Like, 21 or something, and I had just come back from college, and I was like staying at my mom's place in my old bedroom, and I felt like I was in Rhode Island, and I wasn't living there. I was just sort of home for a week or something, and at some point over in the night, like I felt like the bed just tilted over, and I was like scraping to hang onto the bed, and I just was on the floor, and I never knew. It was a dream. It felt completely real, but that's what started to get my kind of open to like weird non-traditional experiences.
Because
I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't think I'm really like a crazy person. Right. But I can't explain what the fuck that was.
Totally.
Did you actually wake up and like, were you, did you definitely end up on the floor?
Yep. I was on the floor with like the blankets and I couldn't, I would try and sleep in that room and I'd have to go out. My brain would start like thinking crazy and I'd go sleep on the couch. Like I couldn't deal with that room.
Wow.
Did anybody else have experiences in that room or was it just you?
No, I mean, it was like, no one was really using the place. It was like, yeah, it was just a room where they left a bed in case I was like visiting or something.
Right.
But I had no one else. Yeah.
Hmm. It's like when your parents like redo a room after you leave and you're like, yeah, it's like, this sucks, but sure, I'll sleep here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's right. like an IKEA room.
Right. Right. Yeah. No wonder you felt like shit when you were in there. Sorry. okay. So you moved to New York. Things weren't going well.
Yes.
What happened?
I went the first time that any of this got brought up, I actually wasn't in the apartment and I had a brand new roommate and his friends were over, I guess like having beers or watching TV or something. And I was in California working on one of my few gigs of the time. And, they were calling me and texting me like, dude, there's something crazy here. This metal rod just came through the ceiling in the bathroom and smashed the tile on the floor. And I was like, I think I was too busy to like for it to register till like the next day when they kept like, dude, it was fucking nuts. And then I was like, I barely knew the roommate. I didn't know the other guys. And I was just like, ah, whatever. And then I got home and like a few days later and they were like, dude, look at this. And a rod had come through the ceiling in the bathroom, busted through the sheetrock and smashed like the tile.
Whoa.
So there was a full hole in the ceiling, like a rod-sized...
It was a like, you know those metal, almost like U-shaped studs that aren't... It's not a wood stud. It's like a stud you would put in a wall that's just not wood, and you can screw sheetrock into it.
Anyways, I dropped out of carpenter school, so I don't know, but...
It's basically like, could be a weapon. It's like a big steel thing you screw sheetrock into or other fixtures. But it, like... It left a matching hole, like a U-shaped hole in the ceiling very precisely. It didn't just blast through the ceiling. It was like a bullet hole in that shape.
Whoa.
It would have been like you would have had to stand and like throw it down through the ceiling, through the sheetrock, like a fucking diver or something. You know, just like as fast as you could get it through.
Yeah.
And it didn't like, it was a very precise hole. And I was just like, what the fuck? And they were like, you could have killed your dog, man. It could have killed us. Like...
Who was upstairs?
Oh, so there was another time before I'd ever connected any dots where I just kept hearing banging and banging and banging. And I'm like, all right, I have to go up there and like do the New York, like scream at the neighbor thing. And it's very, it was like a Chinatown tenement. It was mostly Chinese people. And I storm up there after hearing like, basically sounding like someone stomping on my floor. And there's like a little old lady and an older, littler lady cooking, like in their kitchen with their door open. I walked right in and was like, what the fuck? And they were like, huh? And they were like chopping carrots or something. You know, like these people couldn't have made this noise. It was like shaking, you know, things were shaking. And I sort of wandered back downstairs like, okay, what? And then after that was when the thing came through the ceiling when I was away. And then it sort of, it got hot after that.
Like, things
it ramped up.
Damn.
By the way, can I quickly just say I miss yelling at my neighbors in New York. It's not you can't do that anymore in the time of COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, can. I can.
Okay.
I have. Yeah.
Aw. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Things got hot after that.
I also want to sidebar and say, you know, at 7 p.m. everyone claps for like the healthcare workers. My downstairs neighbor plays a tape of people screaming and clapping out the window, which I feel isn't like, really sort of the same
put
sentiment
in the work.
As
yeah.
Just put your hands together, you know?
Wow.
He pressed his app and he just
he presses a fucking clapping app. I'm like, get out of here. If That's so I already funny. Hated you. Anyways. Wow. Joys of living in the time of a plague.
Mm. Anyways. Yes.
Okay. Back to the story.
Things got hot.
So it was, that was the first time I was like, oh, this could be a real thing. And like, I started considering, I was having like major like awakenings, kind of like never really considered this seriously. And then things were happening, like, you know, lights are flickering, there's weird noises, my dog's barking at things in the way that, like, a cat would bark, or, like, a cat would see something and, like, do a backflip and run the other way. Mm-hmm. My dog wasn't doing that before. And then it became embarrassing. I was just like, I don't need this shit. I'm already, like, broke, hiding from my landlord, worrying about bills. You know, like, everything was already going wrong. And I was just like, fuck. So I wasn't really telling anybody. And you found out. Emily, because I think Meryl was like, tell Emily about your ghost. I was like, oh God, shut up.
Yeah, but this was after the fact. It wasn't this when was it like, was happening.
Yeah, but I was still like, I didn't tell my close friends because I didn't want to have to like talk about my next fucking complaint, basically.
Right.
And then one of my friends, one of my best friends came over and we were watching TV and he was, and I've never discussed it with him, and he's like an open-minded dude, but we're sitting on the couch. He's like, do you ever feel like there's a man in the kitchen right there? And I had another like head in my hands moment, just like, oh God, it's like real. And like people are seeing this and it's not just me and my dog and my roommate. And he was like, yeah, there's a guy standing in your kitchen.
Fuck.
And I could never see any of these things, but I would see like the dog standing in the kitchen, barking at the cabinet. The lights flickering in the cabinet, and the kitchen sort of faced the side of me while if you watch TV or hung out on the couch, and I would constantly see like things in my peripheral that I'd look to the side and be like, ah, I'm not the guy, I can't see it. And then I had similar thing with another friend who came over who said he saw, I mean, and this apartment was tiny. It was like a little tenement apartment that they split into two bedrooms. So everything was like it was like a submarine. And my friend was on the couch and he was like, I just saw a fucking hand come out of the bathroom, sort of like
doing like, no. Like beckoning?
Waving me in. Yeah, or waving somebody in.
No. And
so, yeah, it became like I felt guilty if I ever left my dog in there to go do shit or whatever.
Did you, sorry, remind me, was there a new roommate when this started happening? It kind of coincided
But the other thing was like, I don't hoard, but I love finding shit. And I was like finding cool, like weird artwork of like, you know, something from like a photo that got painted on. And it was like, I found it somewhere in the street and it was like of a lady or a weird fucking sculpture things. I find, like, at that point I was like, I have nothing to do but like collect shitty weird junk.
Got
and my
it.
Friend even pointed, he's like, you're just bringing shit in here, it's like tchotchke heaven. And I was like,
oh, I love tchotchkes. Weird.
So like the vibes were kind of like changing as you brought stuff in and new people were coming in.
I was turning it into like an like obscura store, so I was like finding oddities,
right?
Just thinking, it's like, dude, this is fucking sick looking, you know, hang on my wall. And like, as this carried on, I sort of thought like, maybe I'm bringing some shit in here. That's
right.
Like,
yeah. Like you just built an altar by accident
or whatever. Cause I fully started to believe, I was like, everything is just energy. So like if someone dies, there's the energy never leaves the grand universe. And so I started thinking about like trying to get like, science behind my belief, which mm-hmm. sort of still makes total sense to me. But I was like, really like, holy shit, this is real.
Well, yeah. I mean, it has been said that ghosts or spirits can be attached to objects. And I have heard about like objects basically being haunted. And it's possible that you found something weird and you brought it in and there was something attached to it. But it's also possible in an old Chinese tenement.
Bill was like 140 years old.
Yeah.
And some shit could have easily happened in that.
For sure.
Like, you could just feel that when you go. It's part of why it was, like, fun to live in at first. Like, damn, this is, like, you know, New York history and...
Right.
Right.
But who knows? Any crazy, bad, weird shit could have happened in there.
And
did you... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I'm sure if you were going through bad stuff and you personally were not like well, you know, mentally or whatever, that it could, something could feed off of that energy and kind of like contribute to that.
I mean, people that knew me were like, clearly knew I was up Schitt's Creek, like depressed, all that stuff. And then someone was like, you're drinking a lot. You're probably open to things coming, like seeing things because your guards are down and you're like moving it. Like everything is like half power. And that was like, oh fuck. Okay.
Yeah. That's what Emily and I try to do when we hunt for ghosts. We get sad and drunk and see what happens.
Daydrink and cry.
Yeah.
So far, I think they're like, you guys are a little too sad because you're so desperate, actually.
Yeah, can you take it down a notch, please? Yeah,
trying a little too hard.
Like, organically devastated.
I'll work on it. I think it'll come easier right now.
Yeah.
Did you like end up moving out and things changed, or they settled down and you moved out, or what was kind of like
it got like more kind of grim, whereas like I was stuck because I could like couldn't aff- I was like I can't move right now, like I have no money, so I was sort of I was just like, this is just gonna go on and on. I started having to talk to random people like, hey, do you know anything about like if houses might be haunted? Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy. Like trying to find the right friends to talk to. And I discovered one friend who was like, I don't really talk about this with anybody, but like I practice Santeria, and I was like, what's that? I think I know what that is. It's familiar. And then he told me all about it, and I was just like, holy shit, this is getting to this. But he was like, I don't want it. Like, you need to be sure about what you want to do. And his seriousness was like freaking me out.
Yeah.
Because each person I found that like this wasn't like this
weird
made sense
them.
To, yeah, I was like, holy shit.
Like, yeah, all your like weirdo friends were freaked out. You're like, great, well, this is.
But there were normal people I've never discussed this shit. Or they're like, oh,
got
yeah,
it,
I got a
it.
Guy. I got a guy. It's a guy in Brooklyn. A friend used him, like a Ghostbuster, essentially. I've never had these conversations with people that
got
I've known
it.
For years.
That's crazy.
So, and people were like, I can get the number if you need. And I was like, almost like if I dialed that number, it would make it more real.
Right.
So I kind of held off for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I got another roommate who was like, yeah, there's something real freaky in here. And we started to like ask people. People were like, yeah, turn off all the electricity and like start to talk to it and tell them it's okay to leave. And I did that once. In total darkness, talking to whoever the hell was standing there.
Oh, man.
Did you feel the presence standing there when you were talking?
I got, like, I would say I felt freaked out about everything, that I was even doing this. And then my friend who did it with me was like, I got the chills, dude. And I was like, oh. I don't know. It was, everything was... I love it when it's in a movie, but it was like really weird and in person.
Yeah. That's very scary when that's your life.
But I did have to, I started chucking anything that I had no backstory on, like any item.
Yeah.
That I had brought in. I was like, this is gone. This is like, place got clean pretty fast.
That's one upside to having a haunting.
Yeah. Your place slowly looks less like a haunted house.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't play the part anymore.
You start getting rid of all the spooky shit.
Marie Kondo is haunted as fuck. That's why she does what she does. That's why she does what she does.
You know, they don't like to talk about that, but I think that's true.
I think that's true too.
I'm a Marie Kondo truther.
She's running from stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of demons is she hiding, literally and figuratively? God, yeah, that's crazy. So you didn't believe before, and then you were like, this is just, like, in my life, and now I'm, like, a believer in the
fucking It got to the point where it was undeniable.
Yeah, it was, like, I couldn't ran out of excuses. I even showed my landlord the thing that came through the ceiling, and he was, like, baffled. Because, yeah, he's like, yeah, where was this? Where was it? I was like, it was up there, like, and it came through with such force that it did this and broke that.
Which is crazy, because... I mean, it's probably not heavy enough to come through with that much force unless it was thrown. And if it's And if there's no hole into the apartment above you, then how is that possible?
That was the thing, because I did do carpentry for a number of years, and I was like, you know, shit gets stuffed behind the walls and just sealed over with sheetrock. But this could have, you could hold it, and you're like, this could sit on sheetrock for 50 years and never fall through. And especially with the hole being so matching
with that precision,
the shape.
Yeah.
It's like you had to stand above and just whip down. It was spooky. We tried smudging. I mean, I was doing all types of shit I wasn't telling my friends about because I was like not trying to have it be real.
Right. Yeah. Anytime that your one of your freaky friends or one of your normal friends validates it, it's more real and it's like less. I feel like it maybe would have been more comforting if your friends were like, no, it's just this or something. But when they're like, no, that's real. No, that's, I have a person. You're like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It was strange.
Damn. Did you feel like such a sense of relief when you left?
Yeah. I was like starting to get my life together. I had a couple like little good luck things that I pounced on and like started to like take care of myself and then fucking got the hell out. But it wasn't, that wasn't happening by the time. Like I started to get into a good place and I cleaned the place out. I was doing anything that I could control. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got out of there, it didn't feel spooky or weird, but that was like a 2-year run.
Jesus.
So long.
And towards the end, it went away, but it was like, I don't know, like normal people that weren't fucked up like I was, were standing there like, there's a guy right there. You know? And I was like, okay, this is beyond just me.
Did you ever get a description of what he looked like?
I got, in the kitchen, I got an older guy. I didn't get any sort of, like, ethnic, you know, description, if he was, like, a Chinese guy in Chinatown or whatever. And then the bathroom, my friend said he felt like it was a lady.
Wow, so there's two spirits.
And next to the bathroom was this old picture of a lady. It was a photograph that someone like painted certain colors on, and it was just this thing that probably like 60 years old that was sitting right at the entrance of the bathroom. So that went out immediately.
And you had found that in the trash or found that on the street, right?
I found it in the fucking like hallway downstairs in the building. Like it had ended, it was someone ditched it in the building, so it was probably from the building.
Interesting.
And it had like the gold that you would see on it, like the gold and red in Chinatown buildings. Mm-hmm. It had like that gold. It matched my door.
Mm-hmm. Got it. You had to have it.
Yeah, I needed it for my collections.
Damn, shit. That's crazy though. That's really, really scary.
Yeah, I realized that I felt like shame.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I can't tell. Like it. Like that time when Meryl said, hey, tell her about the ghost. I was like, someone else did that to me recently, like at dinner with my girlfriend's parents. She's like, and you've had ghosts? Tell them about the ghosts. And I was like, oh, Christ, dinner was going well.
I mean, I think that there is some stigma obviously attached to people believing in ghosts or talking about ghosts, because there's always going to be, you know, skeptical people who might think some sort of way about it. But I mean, we've talked to a lot of people and, you know, like people like you or like Mark. I mean, Mark is not like a hippy dippy dude. He's not, you know, he's not like that, but he's had a pretty legit experience or two actually.
Yeah.
And it's like when shit just happens to you, there are things that happen that you can't explain. And
I mean, it's also like, it sucks. Like, I mean, I'm mentally ill, and it's like, if you're like suffer with depression and anxiety, and then you're also like, oh, by the way, I see ghosts. It's like even more like weird that you have to talk to people about. It's like,
I was just like, I felt like a complainer before this, and then this happened, and I was just like, dude, I wouldn't answer my call.
Right.
Like, who wants to hear this shit?
Aw.
Yeah, it was. I did seriously think, like, in my head, like, the whole, like, universe energy, like, it never grows, it never depletes. It's the same recycled energy. So that kind of helped me get my head around maybe that's what this stuff is, whether it's maybe it's physical. I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
I kind of like understood, like, just because someone dies, maybe there's still a shitload of energy laying around that could have its own qualities or whatever.
Totally.
I thought about it, like, also if there's like human souls or whatever that are lingering, like, and I always envisioned like a ghost is like some sort of like villainous, like kind of a genius the way it's gonna fuck with somebody, but then you're like, this is probably like a person who is just as fickle as me and doesn't, is unsure, and like isn't just this like haunted house master.
Right.
Like this like confused individual that's like caught and like doesn't know if it's angry or sad or lonely. I don't know. There's a lot of exploring ideas.
I mean, I am really bad at directions, so I'm probably gonna get fucked up at the end.
You're probably gonna get lost, and then people are gonna be like, "Be gone, demon!" And you're like, "Can you just tell me where to go?"
Is like glitching right now. I don't know where to go.
Do you know the Wi-Fi?
Can you password? They're like, "She's so mysterious. We don't know what she wants."
She's just secretly confused.
You're like, "Why are you smudging me right now? I don't understand. I'm trying to leave. Help me help you.
It's gonna be a nightmare for everybody.
When we die.
Have people gotten rid? Do you have people like talked about like successfully removing ghosts or?
Not yet. We had a friend Kareem who was on was like actively trying to have a ghost, which was a spirit. It wasn't a ghost. It was a djinn. It was a djinn. But
what's the difference?
Well, a djinn is basically where like the word genie comes from, and it's Kareem is Muslim, I believe, and so you conjure a djinn. What he said is that djinns live in all like everywhere. There are djinns there, but he actually conjured one, and so it's different. It's not like a spirit who has departed and is like lost. They're like entities that exist that are around.
And they can do you favors, but they always take something in return, like a life or whatever. So it's like a dangerous thing.
So yeah. And Kareem was like, maybe I'm thinking about asking it for a favor. And we were like, don't ask it for a favor.
But anyway, it's in his house. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I haven't checked back in with him about that, if the djinn is still around, but...
Yeah, we should do a follow-up.
But yeah, most of the people we've spoken to have gone to a place where they experienced something. It wasn't, like, in their haunted house.
Yeah. So. I had a funny idea that I... Well, Meryl had an idea that I... My friend Meryl, who's Emily knows... my girlfriend was going to be out of town for my birthday, and she's like, we should just do something for your birthday. Let's go to, like, the haunted... There's got to be, like, a haunted hotel somewhere. And she pitched it to me, like, we'll all, like, hang out and, like, party or whatever, and then that'll be, like, crazy fun. It's a haunted house. And then I was like, so then I'll go to the room by myself and sit after everyone's, like, done hanging out with me. And, like, we talked it through, and it didn't seem like a great birthday party.
Yeah, it sounds like a terrible idea. Unless everybody's... I'm going
to go probably drunk to the room by myself and wait for the morning.
Yeah.
So that fell apart pretty fast.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I'm glad to hear that. When me and Lillian go investigate haunted places, I make her sleep in the bed with me, so...
Yeah, I can't imagine wanting to do it alone would just be crazy.
No, gotta go in twos.
Yeah, buddy system.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, shit. So you left, and then you haven't experienced anything since then?
No, but I think that whole experience made me, like, think a bit more critically and openly, open-mindedly than just... I definitely start, like, listening to people instead of just being like, you know, whatever, that's just a bunch of bullshit. Just in general, like, because I had to be the person who had a crazy story to tell somebody.
And you were like, I remember when people didn't believe me.
Yeah, like, you're one, we're the same. You know?
We're kindred.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the spirit wanted the whole time.
Yeah, just a little connection.
There you go.
I believe women, I always say.
Yeah. That's where Believe Women came from, actually. So, yeah. Wow. Ghost stuff. So, yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
Yeah, thanks for sharing your story. I know it's like not a fun memory to revisit, probably.
Well, now it's cool.
Yeah, you've had enough distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, Meryl's the one that tried to re-traumatize you by making you have a birthday party in a haunted place.
That was such a misguided... I would have been miserable. And they just wait to run into me in the morning like, how torturous was it? Like,
yeah.
What was it like?
Please.
She actually hates you. No, we all love you. And this was great. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah,
with
thank
us.
You so much.
My pleasure.
I love it. Well, good. Well, we're done,
well,
I guess.
Great. Well, this is the end of Ghost to Show You. For now.
Thanks for being on the final episode. cool. Well, thanks for being on.
Yeah.
Ghost to Show You is created by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Editing and production is by me. Our original artwork is by Paco Park, and our theme song is by LP. If you have a true ghost story that you'd like to share, you can email us at ghosts2showyou@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, @ghosts2showyou. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mom about it. She might like it. Thanks for listening. See you next time.